Hello, listeners. Jordan here. I just want to let you know that you can listen to Nighttime early and ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
You are tuned to the Nighttime Podcast, focused on the fringe of Canada.
Hello, listeners. One of my favorite parts of creating this show has been the frequent involvement of you, the listeners. Be it through story ideas, providing your opinions, sharing tips, or calling in during the live recordings, I feel very lucky to host a show with such an engaged audience. Listeners of this show come from all over the world and from all backgrounds. Blue collar, white collar, young, old, all shades of color, and from across all the various spectrums that make up our human experience. So I guess it's not surprising that there are many listeners of Nighttime who have had experiences with ghosts, hauntings, and the beyond. And it's some of these listeners who are going to take the lead tonight. Earlier this month, I made a post across the various Nighttime social media accounts requesting listeners who believe they've had an encounter with the supernatural to contact me. And well, you didn't disappoint. Just as I had expected, some of you listening are as haunted as an abandoned greenhouse with a horrifying backstory. And we're going to hear all about it. So let's get into it. Pour a drink, dim the lights, and let's get cozy. Tonight, in this Halloween special, we're going to hear from a collection of Nighttime listeners who will share their experiences with the beyond.
Yeah, I'm on Vancouver Island, down here in BC. I've been following you and Paul's Nova Scotia story for a while, and I tune in and been following that quite closely. And then, yeah, I saw your shout out for the ghost story.
And you've been affected by the great beyond in some way in your life, I guess.
Yeah, I have. I was about 3 or 4 years old. And we had moved into this house, and my mom had done the bedroom, and it had wallpaper with like animals that were dancing, but it was just like a strip along the top. Like, so not all the wallpaper, but it was solid color. And then just like a strip along the top with like dancing, happy.
It's a very 80s look. Yeah. It's the 80s kids bedroom.
Yes, totally. So I had that bedroom, painted in this house, and we all moved in. And then I started having like sporadic, they started as like night terrors. So I'd wake up in the middle of the night just screaming for my mom and just angry and upset. And my mom would have to come in. And at this point, I'm probably, three and a half. So trying to tell my mom what's going on was quite difficult. So like all I could really tell her that was that like my wallpaper was coming alive. And like those animals on the wallpaper were like coming at me and scaring me and freaking me out. And so she'd have to sit with me and calm me down. And I had this, like, we called it a pacha, but this thing that I used to suck my thumb with and like hug. And it was like a knitted thing my grandma had made. So she used to pretend it was the channel changer, and we'd change the channel and put the nice animals back. And then, you know, calm me down and then let me fall asleep. And it was really sporadic at first. And then, so it would happen maybe once or twice a week, and then wouldn't happen again for a couple weeks, and then would happen again. And for the first little bit, it was just, yeah, my wallpaper was coming alive, and I was like terrified of this wallpaper. And then the longer we got there, there was a few like really crazy, unexplainable like episodes. And they started kind of ramping up towards the end. I think we lived there for a year and a half, or just over a year or something. And they started ramping up like the longer we lived there. And she's not sure if it was like I was getting older and or what, but it was definitely ramping up. And so one of the worst ones she described is I was having my regular night terror. But instead of describing the animals coming off the wall, I started describing like the road breaking and the house shaking and things falling from the sky and breaking. And so my mom like was kind of sitting there listening to me, and she's like, well, that's kind of sounds like she's describing like an earthquake. Maybe like it sounds like maybe she was having you know, a nightmare about an earthquake. So she went through her thing, sat with me, everything was, yeah, you know, I went back to sleep. Usually I didn't wake up a second time. It was just like one episode. She got me back to sleep and everybody could go. And she woke up in the morning, and on the news, there was like a huge earthquake in Egypt. And she was sitting there like in shock, being like, what? She's like, that's exactly. And like, they were showing pictures of like roads breaking down like the middle of roads and stuff. And she was just sitting there like, oh my God, that's exactly what my daughter just described me last night.
Wow. That is freaky. I just want to ask, have you ever had like anything that led you to think you had like psychic energy or it could be a medium or something? Like what would connect you with what's happening in Egypt?
You know, me and my mom talked about it, and like we moved out of that house and like none of this stuff happened again. Huh. And I've never really felt really any kind of psychic or anything like that since we moved out of that house.
So it's something specific to that house.
Something specific in that house. Hmm. Yeah, because it was a 1992 October earthquake in Egypt. My mom went and looked it up just out of curiosity. And then I would have like some more night terror nights and just kind of the normal. Most of it was like my wallpaper was alive.
Weird. That is a really creepy thought, though, because I can almost picture that 80s, you know, there's probably like a little bear on a tricycle and, you know, a kangaroo jumping rope.
Yes. And they got umbrellas and balloons and shit. Yeah, totally. So, and then so another one, like it was weird because like you said, it was like I had psychic abilities, because another weird night that my mom just like can't explain is, so we were already in bed and her friend invited her over to make like spider. It was around the same time, October. So we were like getting ready for Halloween. And me and my brother were already in bed. So she went over to her friend's house to make these like spider cookies with her girlfriend and her kid. And she didn't tell me about it because she actually didn't know when she was going over there that that's what they were doing. We went to bed. She went to her friend's house and they happened to be making these spider cookies for Halloween. So she comes home, goes to bed. We're all sitting around like breakfast the next morning. And she hasn't said, I don't even know that she's left. Like I was in bed and I was sitting there and I told her about the dream that I had last night. And it was where we went over to Mr. and Mrs. S's and we all made spider cookies for Thanksgiving or for Halloween. And again, my mom was sitting there like, what? Like, that's what I did last night. And she was just like, so like she didn't even know how to respond because there was no way I would know that. I was a 3-year-old in bed and I woke up. I'm like, I had this like vivid dream that we were all making spider Halloween cookies at Mrs. S's.
That is bizarre. I'm almost picturing, so not to try to explain it, but I'm almost picturing that like this house somehow is able to just see what's going on in the world. And for whatever reason, it's channeling it through like, you know, the little girl sleeping upstairs.
Yeah. And like, so my mom, like, and like my brother was young enough. He was sleeping through, like, he was a little, but he was sleeping through the night and like, was like an infant. So like, he wasn't really affected. My mom and dad never really felt anything. It was just me. It was just this bedroom. And she says like, as soon as we moved out, I have never had another, anything like that. And I still haven't to this day.
Wow. Have you ever like gone by that house or anything just to see if you feel anything?
You know what? It's been a while since I've thought about it. So I haven't, but I was having that thought last night. I was like, I should go and check out this house and maybe even like talk to the owners and be like, yo, how's your experience in this house?
Well, if you do report back, I would be very curious.
I will. No, me and my mom were talking about that last night. Because I was like, did you ever like talk to previous owners or anything? She's like, no, but I've always wanted to because it was so weird. She took me to the doctors and like they were just putting it off as night terrors. And like, oh, it's something that, you know, 3-year-olds go through. Just a phase type thing. She was like, I don't know, man.
She's predicting the future and seeing things happening in Egypt.
So I was actually in Barrie, Ontario when this had happened. Okay. I was going to school. I was taking environmental and it was just kind of a lazy day. I was just yeah, waking up in the morning, doing some texting. I was texting my sister when it kind of happened. So yeah, like you said, I was not in a creepy old house. I was in, you know, a pretty modern house. It was, must have been 8 o'clock in the morning. It was daylight. It was not, I guess, your typical scene for that kind of situation.
Yeah, and we've all been there where you're just kind of laying in bed, like half awake, texting someone or scrolling through, you know, your news feed or something. Yours turned unique, though. What? Tell me what happened.
Yeah, exactly. So I just finished texting my sister and put my phone down. I kind of just had this weird feeling, like I felt like I was being watched. And like I said, I was in a bedroom, so I turned around and I looked in the doorway, and that's where I seen this woman standing there. And I was completely alone in the house. Everyone had left, doors were locked, and I knew that I was alone. The odd thing about this woman was she was dressed in like this full red ball gown. Like she looked like she came from the 30s or 40s.
Huh. And like when you say standing there, like did it seem like she, was there anything unusual about her appearance other than, you know, what she was wearing and the fact that she was somewhere she shouldn't have been? Like, did she seem just like a regular person in this crazy dress standing there? Or was she like, you know, see-through or something?
No, she honestly just looked like a regular person. Like I was looking at another, like I was looking at you in a doorway. It was a regular person. She didn't say anything. She didn't really move. She was just looking at me and she smiled at me and that was it. And I couldn't look away. I wasn't scared or anything. I didn't feel fear, but I was frozen just staring at her going, what am I seeing?
Do you recall how you lost sight of her? Like, did she walk off or did you pass out from shock and fear?
What it was so I had stared at her for a good while and probably about 30 seconds and she's just staring and she smiled at me and I kind of honestly for a second was like, am I going crazy? So I stared at her as long as I could without blinking. I did not blink. I was just staring at her. And as soon as I blinked, it was that quick. She was gone. There was nothing, no noise, no nothing. When I blinked, she was just gone.
Wow. And this woman in the doorway, could you get a sense of like age and condition? Like, was she injured? Was she an old lady? Like, what does she look like?
No, she was a very, very young lady. Like I said, like straight out of like the 30s or 40s. She looked to be, I would say, not even 20.
Okay.
Very young. Like she had like her face, like makeup on, like very subtle, but she was very well put together. And yeah, she was probably around the same age I was at the time, around 20 or something like that. And yeah, she looked like a normal human being just standing in my doorway.
I think I would have lost my mind after that happened. What did you do? Like after you blink, she's gone. I'm assuming you're probably thinking like, did that happen? Like, how did you react to this?
I blinked and I knew it had happened. As soon as I blinked and she was gone, much grabbed my cell phone that I was texting on, grabbed my bag that was beside me and kind of did a quick little once over in the house, checked everything again was locked. And I was like, I'm not staying here alone.
Jeez. And were you thinking someone broke in or were you like, it's a ghost?
Like I said, I didn't hear anything. And this bedroom was at the end of a hallway that has very squeaky floors. Mm. So if someone's walking into the bedroom or out, you can hear it. And I never heard it. So I knew that, you know, it was something totally different.
Yeah, I get what you mean. My house is that way too. It's like, I can hear someone if they were, you know, way down the hall, like no one would ever be able to sneak up. Your story evolves beyond this though, where you see this lady, woman in the red dress looking like she appears from the 30s or 40s. But the story continues. So what happens next?
So after that, so my go-to person is my dad. My dad is 100% a believer. If I talk to anyone about this, they think I am absolutely crazy. So I kind of was like, okay, I got to go to school. And I was like, I'm calling my dad after school. So I'm at school and I'm kind of thinking about it and, you know, just thinking about how bizarre it was. And I couldn't make any sense of it as to anything, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I tried calling my dad. He didn't answer. So I sent him a text saying, I got something weird to tell you, like, call me when you can. So finally, he had actually come to visit. So I'm telling him this story of how, you know, I'm there texting, and then I feel like someone's watching me, and I look up and I see this woman in a ball dress, and my dad's face just drops. It goes white. Like, he looks like a ghost. He is white. And he asked me if I've talked to my grandfather, and I'm like, no. Well, why? Like, what does he have to do with this? And he told me that you need to go talk to your grandfather, who at the time he was probably about 87 or so. And so I'm like, you know, tell me. So he tells me that the day before, my dad had talked to my grandfather. My grandfather had told him of a story of how he was in bed. He wakes up and he felt like someone was watching him. And he looks in his doorway in his house, which is about 300 kilometers from where I was, and he sees a young woman in a red ball dress.
Huh.
Yeah, so like bang on what I had seen. He's seen the same thing and had told this to my dad. So then my dad tells me this, and of course I kind of freak out, and we go over to my grandfather's and we go have a little chat with him.
So yeah, I'm speechless, because I'm just like, the chances of you both having this vision in, or seeing the sight, in both turning to your dad to, as the one to share it, you know, your dad must have been like, what the, like, I think he's the one with the crazy story. He must be like, what is going on here?
I think for a second he thought we were like pranking him or something, because yeah, our stories were so similar. Uh-huh. And my grandfather was the same thing, where he had seen her, looked at her. However, he recognized who it was.
Oh.
Yep. So when I was talking to him, I explained what I seen, and he had said that it was, we tried to figure it out, but it was either the day that I had seen it or the day before. My grandfather, when he was about 16, 17, was dating this young woman, and he was forced by his family because of religious views. They didn't have the same religion as her and her family, and he had to essentially end the relationship. And oh, he had always had such bad feelings because he liked her, and, you know, things were good, and he never fully got to explain himself to her. And he said that, you know, all throughout his life, even though he went on to get married and have kids and, you know, had a lovely life, he always, you know, thought about her and thought about how things ended and felt bad. And it turns out, roughly around the time I had seen this woman in the door, she had passed within a few days of that.
Huh. That is wild. I'm thinking, you know, if your grandfather and her must have had a pretty strong connection, so that this much later in life, he even remembers what she looks like. Cause this is someone he was involved with, you know, 60 something years prior. But
right.
I'm wondering if she had the same kind of feelings throughout life that he did about, you know, kind of like the one that got away, and maybe that was something she just clung to, hung on to after she passed. But I wonder why she would show herself to you.
And so that I have my grandfather, and I had actually talked about this prior to him passing, about how he always, you know, when he seen her, he felt like she was, you know, checking in on him, and just, you know, because they hadn't seen each other since mm-hmm. that had happened, since they had to go their separate ways kind of thing. So his theory was that, you know, she was checking on me to see, you know, his grandkid and what his life kind of led up to. That's what he always had his theory of, was her just checking in. Because like I said, there was at no point was I scared, even though there was this woman in my doorway. I was never afraid or anything like that.
Yeah, this kind of, the scene is playing through in my head where she has passed, but has given the opportunity just to kind of go back and check in on people she knew through her life. And for whatever reason, maybe because of your grandfather's connection with her, he was able to see her. And maybe something within, you know, the energy of her and him, and you get thrown in the mix, and you're able to see her as well. That's all I can think of.
I know. Yeah, that's essentially what he had kind of assumed too. I mean, I don't know why it was me or why I had seen her. I had never heard this story from him before. I had never known about him being with this woman before, neither did my father, until, you know, I came to him with the story of this woman in the red dress, and then he explained, you know, who it was to him and the meaning behind who she was.
And do you feel like any fear at all? Like, it seemed like overall it was a pleasant experience. Do you feel any fear?
No, not at all. It's like I said, I didn't feel scared, afraid, nothing in the moment. I was more so, I guess, just surprised. But there was no fear whatsoever during the whole thing.
Wow.
Even afterwards, when I was leaving to go to school, I went to school. I had a normal day. I wasn't afraid or threatened or anything. It was just, I know it sounds weird, but it was a normal day.
Yeah. Laura, I got an email or a message from you earlier. Your story takes us to New Brunswick, but I don't believe you're in New Brunswick. Can you tell us a bit about who you are and where you are?
So my name is Laura Keating, and I am a horror writer. I currently live in Montreal with my husband and my young son, and have kind of lived all over the world. And, it's like, but now we're here, and that's really it about me at this point. Raising a kid during your pandemic, always just a, you know, an exciting time.
Yeah, you don't have to use your imagination much for horror writing in the middle of this. Your story that you messaged me about takes place in New Brunswick. What's your connection to New Brunswick? Is that where you're from?
Yeah, so I'm from New Brunswick. I was born and raised there, went to university there. I come from a small town, very small, called St. Andrews, which is sometimes affectionately known as St. Andrews by the Sea, because it truly is right on the ocean. It's a historical, it's a loyalist town. So it's when people came up from actually America, you know, it's like, you know, we're still loyal to the crown, and they moved to Canada, and that's where a lot of them settled. So it's a very old town, and most of the houses are very, very old. And, it's like, so there's a lot of history there. You know, as long as people have been coming there, people have been telling the ghost stories around the area. The place you might be thinking of is the Algonquin Hotel, which is this great huge hotel at the top of the hill. And there's reportedly a whole bunch of different ghosts that are there. There's also an island off the coast of it called Minister's Island, and the buildings on that are supposed to be haunted as well. So
interesting.
Yeah.
Well, your story, I believe, involves a house rather than an island or a hotel. Tell me about this house and how you came to realize that it was maybe haunted.
So the house in question was actually the house I was living in when I was a kid. We moved a couple times, but from the age of about 7 to when I was 12, we lived at this house at the end of the main street on Water Street. And we moved in, and things were kind of fine at first, but then we would all start noticing strange things happening. At one point, we actually learned the reported name of our ghost, which I don't think a lot of people get to have that, but ours was apparently a woman named either Georgie Mears or Georgie Myers. And I don't know where my mother found that bit of information, but later on in life, when I went back to visit the house, it's now an art gallery, and I wanted to take a look, see how much it had changed. I asked them, if they had noticed anything, and one of the owners said, it's like, oh, are you talking about Georgie? I'm like, so apparently that name has somehow gotten passed down.
Wow. So as a 7 to 12 year old living in this house, what led you to learn, first of all, what led you to learn it was haunted? Like, what was going on in there?
Well, it was mostly just the experiences we were having. So there's the classic things of footsteps. This is not one I experienced, but my stepfather, one night he was sitting downstairs in our living room, and he was alone in the house, and my sisters and I and my mother were up out somewhere. And he was watching TV downstairs, and he heard footsteps, very clear, like hard-soled shoes footsteps. And they walked along the hallway upstairs, and then slowly 1, 2, 3, all the way down the stairs. And so he really thinks there's someone in the house. So he's sitting very still thinking, whoever it is, he'll surprise them. They come through the living room, through the hallway, and the door to the living, to the TV room is open. And they come and they stop in front of the open doorway, but there was no one there, and the footsteps did not repeat themselves afterwards. Huh. That was one of the things. And then there would be other things like there was this sound that would start, and it was kind of like a roll sound, roll, roll, and then clap, clap, and then roll, clap, clap, and then roll, clap, clap, and a whirr sound. And this could be heard at night. And what we realized was this is the sound of a spinning wheel, and I guess a roll, clap, clap, spin, roll, clap, clap, spin. And one of the things that Georgie did, she would spin. She had this spinning wheel, and I guess people knew that somehow around town. This is, again, when we started looking for information, we learned these things. So, yeah, so noises, footsteps, you know, it's like that sort of thing. Yeah.
The idea of the sound of the spinning wheel is kind of eerie.
That one was the most eerie because it would build. You know, it would be piece by piece the sounds came together. And, you know, it's hard to identify something that, you know, is not used every day. But then after a while, it's like, oh, that's what that is. That's the sound of a spinning wheel. So, which is fun.
And as far as like identifying the ghosts, like it sounds like your mom kind of got interested in this as well. Do you know how she came to learn the name or what led to that?
You know what? I have no idea. I've never really asked her how she found that out. I think
it's normal.
Well, she also, I think that she saw more things and heard more things in the house that she even told us kids while we were living there. Just because she didn't want to scare us. But there was lots of things that we encountered on our own that were very scary. My older sister, her room was at the other end of the house from mine and my youngest sister. And she would frequently come into one of our rooms and she would sleep there. And we found out that she was afraid to sleep in her own room despite being the oldest because, and this is going to sound, you know, really kind of strange, but she said that she would see faces in the wallpaper as though they were trying to push her on the wallpaper. And I was like, you're no way. But she didn't tell us that as little kids. And it was after we moved out of the house. She was like, that's why I didn't want to sleep there. She's like, because it looked like there was faces moving in the walls. And I'm like, well, that's straight up some Shirley Jackson stuff there. Things like that. Yeah, you know, you start to kind of get used to it in a weird way. You know, it's like with something new and really terrifying.
Well, it's definitely new. Do you recall the first experience you had there, like that made you like, you know, connect to it or feel uneasy?
Yeah. You know, it's like there would be things like I said, you know, hearing footsteps. Footsteps became a common one. The first real instance was the one with my stepfather, but we would all hear footsteps. Or sometimes at night, it would sound like you'd hear whispering. So, you know, it's like a proper haunted house stuff.
Yeah.
So, you know, lying in bed at night trying to sleep, and then it sounds like there's whispering coming from the side of your bed, but there's no one there. And
then you hear a spinning wheel.
And then you hear the spinning wheel, or, you know, it's like, or we had dogs, and there was one night, it's like, you know, we thought there was noises happening, like maybe the dogs were up and playing somehow in the middle of the night. But the next morning, again, my mother went down and she thought, oh, like it was like the little turn, everything was fine. And the dogs were asleep in the room they normally slept in, which was not where the noise was coming from. But the carpet in the hallway was missing. And all the doors were locked to the house, you know, it's like, and so she's like, where's the carpet? And she opened the door to the kitchen, which had also been closed. And the carpet was in front of the refrigerator, neatly folded in an accordion fashion, very neat. And so,
wow,
yeah, and
bizarre.
So, yeah, lots of like, you know, lots of things like that. Just, you know, that lots of people have said they're like, there's no way that happened. I'm like, yeah, that's just, like I said, one of the many weird things that happened in that house.
Have you ever considered like investigating or learning more about this ghost and this particular person that led to this, you know, series of hauntings?
I've tried, but this person, she lived so long ago. I think this was, you know, over 100 years ago, I'm pretty sure. Mm-hmm. And I just don't think there was that many records on her. She was just a person. And I don't know where the suspicion started that it was her. So, you know, it's like, it's not like she was anyone special. She was just a person who lived. And so, you know, finding more information has been really difficult. And there doesn't seem to be anything particular about the house itself. It was never the site of some horrible accident as far as we could find. You know, it wasn't the site of, it was like some great injustice. It's just a house. So
a house that a person lived in. And for whatever reason, that person maybe hasn't left all the way. Yeah, because there's some, like, with the idea of hauntings and stuff, some people think it's, you know, something horrible happened and some person died an untimely death and they're just stuck there for whatever reason.
Yeah.
But maybe she just really liked her house and that's where she wants to stay and she's not ready to leave yet. So she's there walking around and, you know, and spinning yarn like she did 120
she's
years ago.
She's still just taking care of the place. She just wants to make sure it's still good. And, you know, we did the best we could.
I'm Marisa, and I'm a commercial cleaner. We clean restaurants and buildings and offices, warehouses, stuff like that.
Okay, and we're going to be talking about a ghost story, but I often think, like, the cleaner, like, if a building's haunted, it's probably the cleaner is the one that's going to know, because you're there when everybody else is gone and it's quiet.
And very weird hours. We work very strange hours, yeah.
Yeah, like late at night, early in the morning would be typical,
yeah.
Right?
Yes, yeah, right around witching hour, you know, 3 a.m. It's perfect.
Yeah, perfect time. So you would see some stuff. But you, I think the story you're going to share isn't so much about a place you were, is it a place you were cleaning? I know it's like a train station / hotel.
Yeah, so it's a place we were cleaning. It was a pub. It's in New Westminster, British Columbia, and it was called the Terminal Pub. And it was a weird place. Stuff happened all the time. Like when we were cleaning, the water taps would turn on. We'd hear water running, and we'd go behind the bar, and there was water running. And it was like, "Did you turn it on?" And the person I worked with would be like, "No, did you?" And I'm like, "No." So, and we wear backpack vacuums, and okay. We'd be vacuuming, and all of a sudden, they would just turn off. And it wasn't from the plug. It was from the actual vacuum has a on off switch. So it was at the vacuum, the switch was off. Cause we'd go to the plug and it's like, "Well, no, it's plugged in," but it was actually the switch. So,
weird.
Yeah, so they were very close.
The pipes is a weird, but like faucets turning on is strange. Because I can understand if an old building has faulty wiring or whatever, it may cause light switches and stuff like that to be weird. But
yeah.
A pipe and like a faucet, that's a bit more of a mechanical thing that kind of requires intervention to open or close.
You have to turn them, right? So they would either, it would always be behind the bar that it would turn on, or in the men's washroom. And the area of the men's washroom was like super active.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, in your email, you told me a little bit of a story where it's almost like you walked into like a party of ghosts or something with a workmate. What is the story with that?
Yeah. So I've been working with the same partner for about 10 years.
Like,
we work together almost daily, right? So we went in, it was a typical early morning, it was about 5 a.m. And usually we don't get deliveries until about 7, like just when we're just about to leave. When we're working, it's usually divide and conquer. She'll take one side and I'll take the other. And when we're done, we meet in the middle and go home. But so she went to the women's washroom. So you have to go down to the very end of the bar. And she was on the left. I went to go clean the men's washroom, which is all the way down to the end of the bar to the right. And we were both in there. And all of a sudden, I heard, and she heard it at exactly the same time. It sounded like about 20 people had walked in. Like I heard laughing and talking, and I thought that someone had actually turned on the radio, like the sound system, because we used to do that sometimes when it was creepy. We'd turn on the music. but so I could have sworn, like I thought maybe the staff had come in early, or I don't know. It literally sounded like 20 people having a party at the bar, like a full bar. Mm-hmm. So I walked out all like, okay, there's going to be a bunch of people in here. Let's find out who it is. And her and I both walked out of our washrooms and just stood in this empty bar, and we just stared at each other because she walked out at exactly the same time I did.
And, hearing the same thing?
Yeah. And she looked at me and she said, did you hear that? And I looked at her and I said, did you hear that? And we weren't like, we just looked, it was absolutely silent. It was like when we walked in, it was quiet. And there was nobody there. And like absolutely nobody. I checked the front door. The door was still locked. Nobody was in the parking lot. And then we just didn't even say anything. And we turned around and just kept cleaning. And then we cleaned really, really fast. And then people started coming in around 7, and that's when we just left. So,
well, and let them deal with it.
Yeah, we didn't even say anything. We just kind of, I don't even think we talked all the way home because we carpooled together. And I think it's like, it's a 20-minute drive home. I don't think either of us said anything. We just sat there and just.
Weird.
No, but it,
so what could be an explanation for it?
Ghosts. Yeah.
Well, I can't imagine like what would lead to that. Cause it's when you hear like an old building, you know, like I mentioned, electrical things, or maybe the wood is like settling and there's like crackling sounds, or, you know, cause some people will explain away footsteps being like, you know, it's just the sun hitting the building and things are happening. Yeah. Settling. But the idea of a kind of a quick commotion, it sounds like a scene out of The Shining or something.
That's exactly what it is. It literally, like, she came out the way she burst out of the, like, we both kind of just swung the doors open because you're not expecting anybody at like 5 a.m. We're like, what the heck? And it definitely sounded like a party. We heard people laughing, like talking really loud. I don't know. There may or may not have been music. I can't really, I just remember the laughing and the talking. And I was like, who is so loud? Like, and for it to even come through the bathroom door, because the doors, like the washrooms are kind of like around the corner and they have these big doors. It's like,
and this is the middle of the night, right?
Well, 5 a.m. But around 5 a.m. Yeah, we just got there. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just thinking like if, you know, a crowd walking by on the outside of the building or something, but there's not going to be a crowd at 5 a.m.
The area where it's in is super industrial. So there are lots of trucks. There are trains. But it didn't sound like a truck. It didn't sound like a train. This was people, like a bunch of people, not like a person. We're talking like a lot of people were having a party, and that's pretty, yeah.
I want to thank you for joining Shannon G, Nicole P, Laura Keating, and Marissa and I. Stories like theirs are what this show is all about. Regular people getting mixed up with the unusual, unfortunately, living to tell about it. And with that, I'll wrap up this episode of Nighttime, but before we part, I have to give some thanks. First, a big thanks to my guests in this episode, and to everyone who wrote in offering to share your stories. I plan to make episodes like this an annual event, so if you have a story to share, let me know and we can chat next October. Next, a big shout out to Monty Data for contributing the music to this episode. It's a piece called Noir Tokyo. And lastly, a massive thanks to everyone who listens to Nighttime, as without your interest and your support, this show would be as pointless as it would be impossible. But with that said, keeping the show alive is and has always been an uphill battle. So if you want to help take a bit of weight off the show's back, please listen on the premium feed. For about the price of a cup of coffee, you can keep the show alive at patreon.com/nighttimepodcast. And with that said, let me thank the newest subscribers to the premium feed. Spooky Shannon G, Terrifying Tanya G, James the Butcher of New York, Hammering Derek Cameron, and Killing Jillian S. Thank you for going premium. And for anyone else who'd like to support this show but can't subscribe to the premium feed, you can give me a big hand by simply sharing the episodes on social media and letting like-minded friends know what we're doing here. If you have any story ideas or if you want to give feedback on the show, you can reach me at nighttimepodcast.com/contact or on social media. I use Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and I'm often live on the Nighttime YouTube channel. So until next time, take care of each other. Hug your loved ones tight, and let me know if you see anything weird.
The Nighttime Podcast is written, hosted, and produced by Jordan Bonaparte. Copyright Jordan Bonaparte.
As a cleaner, what is like the worst job? What is something where you're like, you get the gig to clean blank place and you're like, oh man, those places suck. Is it a bar? I'm thinking bathrooms at a bar, like at the end of a night, I wouldn't want to have to be the one who goes in and cleans that out.
Well, we used to clean a very high-end restaurant in Vancouver, and those washrooms were way worse than any pub I've ever cleaned. I'll tell you.
Really?
Yes. That was absolutely awful. Very what about the restaurant?
What about the men's versus the women's washroom?
Oh, this is a big debate. I know people aren't going to probably like to hear this, but the women are way worse than the boys. Sorry, ladies. You're terrible.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.